This is the William Hill Rugby League Podcast.
Yes, hello, it's back to Super League this week with Barry McDermott and Terry O'Connor. Good morning, chaps.
Morning, well? Mate.
After the Challenge Cup final last weekend, bit of a strange occasion in the end, wasn't it? It was a strange old game, kind of lacked the tension you normally get with those games, but best team won on the day, didn't it? So that's all that matters, I guess.
To be fair, I think we were crossing our fingers and hoping that the Hull could make it a real fight, and some of us and most of us, me included, thought they had a good chance. If all the risks, all the gambles, all the players who were asked to play when they were less than 100% fit were up to their best, and unfortunately it didn't happen on the day. The conditions didn't help. A lot of players complaining about the grip on the ball, but poor skill level. It doesn't matter which ball you play with. It was a less than classic game, yeah. but Wigan were deserved winners.
Yeah, that's fair enough. They look like a lot of the stuff he was taking out of hold, wasn't it, Tez, really early on, it seemed. Maybe the week caught up with them and all that sort of stuff as well, but just didn't have the energy in the end, did they?
No, they didn't, and losing Gareth Ellis for a big chunk of the game didn't go down well with them, and probably thought that the only player that showed any sort of spark when he came on was Aaron Herrmaier, but he's going to be missing for this game. They're going to have to play Wigan again this weekend, and it's how the minds will be. Will they be confident of going to Wigan and turning him over? Because it can't come soon enough if you're a Hull FC player this fixture.
Yeah, true. All about the Super League now and getting ready for playoffs and the grand final, of course. Not a bad little Friday night game either to start with. St Helens versus Warrington is where we start. Warrington are second, 2 points ahead of Wigan in the table. Saints down in fifth on 29 points. So they could be caught by Catalan, but they can't drop out of the playoffs or anything. They'll just be wanting to stay pretty much where they are. As far as team news goes, Nathan Brown's got an unchanged team. You can't ask for much more than that. Going for that sixth successive win in the league. James Roby's still not ready, but only probably a week or so away from making a comeback. So they're starting to get all the bodies back at the right time. Warrington without Brett Hodgson. Lee Breers and Adrian Morley are back though, and Gareth Carvell as well. So three big players coming back in to the squad. Cracking game. The last season, Warrington beat them 22-12 at St Helens, and St Helens beat Warrington 28-16. So if you go in with that kind of form, this should be it should be Warrington's game. The odds 10-11 each of two, so no handicap whatsoever. It's just a straight normal match, both as good as each other, say the traders. What do you think, Barry?
Yeah, if you look at the history, the recent history, the last four have gone in favour of Warrington, so I think the mindset of the Warrington players approaching this game is far different than we used to talk about. You know, we'd sit there, and I'm sure we're all the same, whether we're watching it live on the TV or live at the ground, we're thinking, well, here we go. When is Saints going to score that magic try? When is Kieran Cunningham, Sean Long, going back a little bit further, Paul Sculthorpe, Paul Newlove, when are those type of players going to break the hearts of the Warrington players? But it's not the case these days. Warrington, were it not for a few drop points, would be challenging for that league leaders' shield. They've been in all the major finals over the last couple of years, so their recent history is very strong. Saints over the last year, when you look at Saints and you work out that they've lost and dropped 10 games this year. They've drawn one, but they've lost 10 games. I can't think that anybody in the Red V camp would be happy with that. And I know that Nathan Brown is trying to get something together now. They look like the confidence is there, but it's very brittle. It's very fragile, and it wouldn't take too much to crack that eggshell, I don't think. So I'm going to go for Warrington in this game, I think. Players are starting to return. The Morleys and the Monaghans coming back, the Breezes, when they hit their straps, then Warrington are a very difficult side to deal with. But I genuinely feel that going to Langtree Park holds no fear for Warrington. Saints will need to start well. They'll need to stay within touching distance of Warrington, because that's probably been the Achilles heel of Warrington this year. Unless they get that big start, then they're likely to struggle in the game. But I think Warrington will get a good start, And it's going to be a great game. They're always really exciting games to watch, and I'm going for the Wolves to get an away win.
Which way do you go on this one, Tez? The headline offers, incidentally, if the guys have got any thoughts on these, Francis Melli to score a try in a St Helens win is 5-2, and Joel Monaghan to score a try in a Warrington win is 9-4. So just a little way of putting together a slightly enhanced double if you're looking at a try scorer. Tez, what about the match?
Mate, I'm going to go for Saints straight in. Barry talked about Warrington's form, and it's the fourth successive win that they're looking for at St Helens. They've managed to turn them over, but you look between 2001 and 2011, and they couldn't buy a win against Saints. The amount of times that they were leading with 5 or 6 minutes to go at St Helens and come back and nick it. But for Warrington, and I was with Tony Smith and Nathan Brown yesterday, not name-dropping Lee.
No, I saw it on Twitter, Terry.
Yeah, he was talking about that the players can't wait to get back on the field. And when you've had a big loss and you're playing against your biggest rival, which in Warrington's case is St Helens in this fixture, they'd come off the back of getting beaten, probably embarrassed by Widnes. They had a completion rate of 54%. They made 18 mistakes close to Widnes's line, who were defending with just 12 men. You never normally see that from a Warrington side. You do normally see them make mistakes, but the conditions just got the better of them, and Tony held his hands up and said that. You look at St Helens on the other hand, and they've won 7 out of the last 8 games. James Roby back, you're quite right, he won't play this game, he'll play the following week. And there's players at that club that are taking unselfish roles, like John Wilkin. He's playing as a 9, he's playing as a 6, he's playing as a back row, all in one game, all in 80 minutes of rugby. And they're finding ways to win games. And I just think that with some of the players that have managed and emerged this year, the likes of Adam Swift and Tommy Makinson earning a bigger reputation than last year, I think the Saints will really fancy themselves. They look at the pressure that Widnes put on Warrington last week, and Warrington have all the big guns back apart from Hodgson. It'll be a big, tough ask, but I'm going to go with Saints at home.
Interesting one. Let's move on to Leeds Rhinos versus the Catalan Dragons. Leeds expect to welcome back Danny Maguire, Ryan Bailey and Jamie Jones-Buchanan. Joel Moon as well, which is massive, obviously, getting ready for the playoffs. Could Leeds be doing it all over again? Zach Hardacre goes to fullback. Rob Burrow go to hooker in place of Paul McShane. So things starting to look a little bit more like the team that Leeds would like out on the pitch, given a choice. Catalan are boosted by the return of Remy Casty. He missed the win over Wigan the week before the Challenge Cup final. Interestingly, Catalan never beaten Leeds on a Friday night. In fact, they've lost all 8 of their visits to Headingley since 2006. This won't surprise you. Kevin Sinfield scored points against Catalan in each of his last 18 of the Rhinos meetings since 2006. We seem to say that every week, though, to be fair, Tez, don't we, about Kevin Sinfield? Whichever team they're playing, he seems to have scored points against them. Can Catalan break that little hoodoo they've got? The odds see Leeds at 1-4, 20-1 the draw, Catalan 3-1. So Catalan getting a 10-point start at kickoff on Friday night.
Well, they defeated Wigan, didn't they, at home in the last game, 22-8. And you looked at that game and they controlled the ruck speed. They made the play of the balls very slow for Wigan, and Sean Wayne actually complained about that. And they defended the line very well. And you need to do that against the Leeds Rhinos. And you touched on Kevin Sinfield and how good of a player he was. Well, he went through in his last game the 3,000-point mark just in Super League. I think it's an incredible achievement. I think he's an absolute legend of the game. You go cast your minds back to early on in the year, lads. This game was a real ferocious encounter. Ryan Bailey got his marching orders, and some of the senior players, I was very, very impressed with them. The likes of Jamie Peacock stayed on the pitch an awful long time. He refused to come off. I think it was Richard Moore who didn't actually get onto the park. So Brian McDermott choosing not to rotate his forwards. He knows what his senior players can do. And Kevin Sinfield come away with the man of the match performance because of his leadership skills. He certainly knows how to get the best out of the players around him. And you look, Leeds last game, beaten by Hull KR. Again, another team that made a lot of mistakes. 28 players on Hull KR's line and failed to score. They've just looked short of ideas. But in this fixture, I do think it's going to be a big battle. I do think it's going to be a lot of skill on show. And I think it's going to go Leeds' way. But another thing as well to watch for any Leeds fans that's going to the game tonight is some of the youngsters that will be making the way in the game and just signed on for the big Leeds club. Well, there's a young Billy McDermott, my godson, and Barry's a little lad who'll be introduced to the crowd at that time.
Brilliant. That's a nice touch, Barry. Big night for you then, Barry. Didn't know that.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to it.
I tell you what as well, he's the first £1 million player to ever sign for Leeds Rhinos.
Really?
Really?
£1 million over 2 years.
Wow. Yeah.
We handed over his blank cheque to his parents just the other day.
I sense a little bit of insider knowledge here helping out. That's a great night for you, Barry, though, isn't it?
No, looking forward to it. It's one of the nice bits of my job at getting them young kids through, and you have an emotional attachment to all of them. But when it's a member of your family, it's even more special. And
is he in your kind of image, your kind of player?
No, 100% not. No, he's a bit like his mum. He's very sleek and slender and quick and fast and athletic. He's skillful and he's
his
absolutely
boobs
nothing like me.
I knew he wouldn't be able to hold off saying something. Do you mean as big as his mum's or his Barry's?
His Barry's.
Oh, right. Sorry. Apologies. That was nice, Barry. And he's gone and ruined it all, hasn't he, there?
Oh,
do you know what I mean? You can't have any bit of, like, you know, nice little bit of sentiment there. What about on the pitch then, Barry, after all that? When you look through Leeds' home form this season, I mean, obviously we concern ourselves with handicaps and all that sort of stuff. The players, you know, it means nothing to them. But when you look through Leeds' recent home form, they haven't won many handicaps. You know, they lost to Hull KR, as Tez said. They beat Wakey by just 2 points in the league, and, you know, not much more in the cup before that. They beat Widnes by 10. The handicap was much bigger. Had a good win against Castleford, to be fair, 42-24. Lost to Wigan. Lost to Saints at home, going back to April when they beat London healthily. It's not been an easy season for them at home, has it?
No, but I think they've had more than their fair share of, and this isn't me making an excuse, by the way, they've had more than their fair share of injuries, and the hallmark of 2013 has been the youngsters coming through, as we say, the Sutcliffes, the Baldwinsons, the Fosters, the Singletons, they're now starting to not just make the odd appearance, they're starting to cement the place in the team, so for players around the 18, 19 years of age, it's been a great year to be in that prime position, because you're going to get the nudge, you're going to get the nod, and you're going to get allowed to, afforded the luxury of playing. The previous fixture in 2012, Catalan versus Leeds at Headingley was 34 points to 18. I don't think it's going to be a million miles off that. I think Leeds are in the mood to score. They've got that determined feel. I watched them like everyone else did because it was on TV. I watched them beaten up, really, by Hull KR. The way that Hull KR defended, the character that they showed. They didn't score expansive tries, but they scored tries that normally you wouldn't expect them to get over the line against the quality Leeds Rhinos side. So having had the time to prepare, having had the time to just get things right, I think it's going to be a good game. But around about 18 or 20 points, I reckon Brent Webb, who had a 6 year stay at Headingley, he's going to have something to say about this game. Lovely fella, Webby, and really made a mark on the place at Leeds. Really left a good impression. So I reckon he's going to go have a hand in one or two tries, but it's going to be Leeds' night.
Let's have a look at Wigan versus Hull next. This is an intriguing match. Listen to these prices. This is Wigan, of course, who've that Challenge Cup final win. That was their ninth successive win over Hull FC. They've had seven successive home wins against them. Yet they're the outsiders. Wigan are 11-8 to win this at home. Hull are the odds-on favourites at 4-7. The draw's 18-1. Wigan get the start, a four-point start at home, and that's because of the team news. Just six members of the Challenge Cup final-winning team are in the 19-man squad. Lewis Tierney, Ryan Hampshire, Joe Burgess, George Williams, James Greenwood, Dominic Manfredi all get their chance in the team alongside Andy Powell. Of course, making, I think it's his third appearance since switching codes. Hull make four changes as well. Gareth Ellis, Mark O'Meally, Andy Lynch are injured, and Jeremiah is suspended. Josh Bowden, Chris Green, Paul Johnson, all vying for a place in the starting lineup. And Dean Hadley, Liam Kent, a couple of other youngsters, as well as Richard Horn, not quite a youngster anymore, back in the squad. He's been out for a few months. Intriguing one, Barry, isn't it? How do you preview a game like this? It's not like Hull at full strength, is it? They're weakened. So, I mean, should they be odds-on favourites to win at Wigan still?
If Hull had a full side and a full fit side, and Wigan had a full fit side, I think it's quite an even game. But listen to this: Gareth Ellis, current Great Britain and England international; Mark O'Meally, former Australian international; Andy Lynch, former club captain and player of the year last year; Aaron Jeremiah, former New Zealand international. So those are four big missing players. The young players, the Tierneys, the Hampshires, the Burgess, the Williams, they will absolutely love the opportunity. All the news and all the feeling and all the wave of emotion will be about bringing the Challenge Cup home. There'll be a, you would imagine, a post-match presentation to the pitch. It may well even be before the game. We're not too sure how these things work, but there will be an element of celebration. The young players who've grown up watching their heroes be dominant in the 90s, and I'm saying the 90s, they won't have even been born, but they'll be aware of the 90s, the noughties, the dominance that Wigan have had in rugby league for decades now. So that weight of expectancy will motivate them, it will inspire them, it won't burden them and won't weigh them down. So I'm going to go for a Wigan win. I'm going to go for the speed, I'm going to go for the enthusiasm, and I'm going to go for the exuberance of youth to get over what is a very demoralised Hull FC side.
Yeah, what do you make? I mean, it looks. I mean, I can't get me out. I mean, 11-8 for Wigan at home. Whatever team they put out, it just seems too good to be true. That.
Well, everything that Barry said there, I totally agree with him, because you look at the youngsters that are going to be given the chance, and like six of them that have come into the squad, there's only 10 games, first team games between them, experience. But that doesn't really matter. We've saw Ryan Hampshire, we've saw Lewis Tierney. When they played first team for Wigan, they hit the same lines as Sam Tonkin if they're playing at fullback. There's no real change. There's no change to the way that Sean Wayne wants to play the game, the way that the players want to play the game. And obviously these youngsters who are getting given an opportunity, you know, as a player, when you're paid to play rugby and perform, that's your big chance. You go out there and make a name for yourself. So 9 times out of 10, you get young lads running around like headless chickens, trying to do everything they can. And sometimes that they make mistakes when they do that. But boy, they won't lack any energy tonight. And you've got Hull FC. If they play anything like what they played last week, they still could win this game. But what I say by that is, if they can catch that ball, they could win the game. They could still win at Wembley last week. If you look at when Jamie Shaw broke through, but then he was cut down by Josh Charlie. Kirk Yeaman, all he has to do is kick the ball forward and land on it, and then they score two tries. Unfortunately for them, those players didn't come off. The biggest problem with Hull FC last week was the kicking game. It didn't test Wigan out, and I think Daniel Holdsworth will have a point to prove. Jacob Miller, I didn't think that they managed to match Matty Smith and Blake Green, who were absolutely sensational last week. They totally dominated, but I'm with Barry. It's all about the occasion. It's all about a packed house for Wigan. Whether they parade around the FA Cup and the Challenge Cup after tonight's game, because what a remarkable achievement that is for a small town like Wigan to have both of those trophies in the upstairs in the boardroom. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, you're right. That would be a nice occasion, wouldn't it? Let's have a look at Sunday's game. No Saturday match. Four on Sunday, culminating in the live TV game. We'll do that one last. First of all, though, Bradford Bulls take on London. The prices, first of all, 12-1 on Bradford, 13-2 London, 33-1 the price for the draw. That means London get an 18-point start going into this one. Bradford in ninth on 20 points, so too far away to get into the playoffs. London 3 points off Salford, who are second bottom, so it looks like they're going to finish bottom. Not quite got the worst points difference, Tez, but it's not far off. Interesting, a bit of a dead rubber, really, this one, isn't it, to be fair? But you'd imagine the pride of Bradford would be worth betting on at least, wouldn't you?
Well, it's one of those. Motivation's probably the key word for both sides. What are they playing for? Still hearing shocking rumours behind the scenes about both clubs, what's going to be happening to them, but London themselves, if they want to look at what commitment that they put into the game when they played against Huddersfield, at half-time they were trailing just 6-0. They were 18-12 down with 5 minutes to go. If they can play anywhere near that, they'll stay within the handicap. I'm not saying that they'll beat Bradford, but they need to be playing along those lines. And for a lot of the London players, I know for a fact that the majority of them are signed for other clubs. So it's going to be the last couple of games that they're going to be playing together before Tony Ray has to assemble a squad, try and find a home for next year, and I'm sure that that's playing on the mind of some of these players. If a coach or a club says that it's not, I'm telling you now, that's a load of rubbish, because when it's coming down to the end of the season, you don't know whether you're in employment at the club that you're at, or you're looking for employment elsewhere. It plays on your mind. For Bradford themselves, when they last played, it was all about Rangitje. They scored 34 points, but they just couldn't contain that man. For London, they haven't got a Rangitje. They haven't got a player who can cause as much damage as them. So even though they went to a tough environment and tough ground like Castleford, they still scored 34 points but come away with the defeat. And playing at home, I'm sure it'll be a different prospect for them and Francis Cummins. And Bradford this year have won 5 home games. I think this will be the 6th.
Barry, what do you say?
Barry? Hang on. Just checking my notes.
He's just wiping his bum.
Same thing, really, isn't it?
Two very demoralised teams. Bradford outside in ninth. No chance of getting in the eighth. Motivation is just pride, and that's pure and simple. At home, they haven't had too many chances to celebrate, chances to smile, but I'm going to go for the West Yorkshire team to beat what is flat as a pancake London Broncos side.
Yeah. Widnes versus Hull KR on Sunday as well. Widnes are in 11th position on 18 points. Rovers occupy that 8th position, level on points with their neighbours in Hull, so they'll be trying to jump above them in the table. Could still jump over Catalan as well if results go their way. The prices, Hull KR are the favourites for this one at Widnes, 8-15. Widnes is 6-4. The draw's 18-1. And that means on the handicap, Widnes get a 4-point start at home, Barry. Hull KR got more to play for, I guess you'd say here, wouldn't you?
They have, and I was, as I say, really impressed with them against Leeds. Tremendous performance by them. Tremendous unity, very enthusiastic response from the coach after the match when we saw him interviewed on telly. He couldn't keep his delight in, but I think Widnes are a different side at home. We talk about the eye pitch all the time and how that influences players and the way that they play. The playoffs are just round the corner, and I think there'll be a different attitude from the Hull KR players for this game. They'll think and believe they just need to turn up, and Widnes, after their last game, will have the wind in their sails. I think Widnes have got this. I know it's a bit against, almost against the form of both teams, but I think Widnes and what Dennis Betts has got going now will carry them through to the end of the season, and they'll do well in the remaining games. And I expect them to, if not beat Hull KR, then certainly make it extremely close, which tells me that they'll stay within the handicap.
Yeah, it tells me that we've often, that they kind of, I guess the cliche is that Widnes' home form is much better than their away form, but not so much recently. Is it 1-6, I think, at home now? I mean, there's been some very close games, admittedly, and there's been a draw in there as well. Only lost by a point to Wigan, of course. The draw was with Catalan, but not winning games, you know, when it comes down to it.
No, but what they are doing, they're scoring an awful lot of points.
Yeah, you're right.
And what they need to do The last home game, I think they scored 38, but they conceded 42. That's been probably the... If you look at the losses that they've had, they've never failed to score an awful lot of points. It's the problem is that they're conceding. Look at the last game, though. With 12 men, Hepkayil sent off just before half-time, and they keep Warrington out at Warrington. And that's the first time Warrington this year have failed to score more than 6 points. So if they want to look back and they want to try and say, look, lads, this is what we've done. This is how confident, how good we can be if we just defend and we just turn up for each other. Be a bit more committed on every time that we have to turn the ball over. Kevin Brown and Joe Mellor, this is the battle, for me, the Brits against the Aussies, in Michael Dobson and Travis Burns against Kevin Brown and Joe Mellor. Barry's already talked about the fast pitch. Both teams, for the majority of the year, I think both teams will throw that 50-50 pass and they'll like to play. I think there's going to be an awful lot of points scored in this game. I think probably this will be the most entertaining game of the round. We can talk about Saints and Warrington. Yeah, it will be, and there'll be good defences. But for points scored, this will be the game to go to. I'm very excited, I think. If you look at Hull KR, very committed, very disciplined. The last time it turned out, Adam Walker, again, I genuinely think he's going to go on to bigger things, as in playing International Rugby League. I think he's a brilliant player. Will Dennis Betts pick the same side, obviously without Hepkayil, or will he bring back in some of his big guns in Gareth Hawk, John Clark? I think he had 8 players that were missing in that Warrington game. So that shows how good they did actually play. To have 8 players missing, 6 of those were starting first teams at the beginning of the year. If those players are back, will he put them in? I don't think he will. I think Gareth Hawk and John Clark will get into the side. This will be a very good game, and I'm going to go with Baz again. I think this is a witness win.
Castleford versus Salford is at 3:30. Castleford, well, could still finish a few places higher than they are now if results go their way and they win both the matches. Salford have an outside chance of finishing bottom, but it would need London to win both their remaining games. That's unlikely. When you look at the recent form, or the home and away form at least, Salford just one away win all season long, and that was at London. So that doesn't look too clever. Cass have they've won 6 of their home games this season. The betting between Cass and Salford looks like this. Castleford Tigers are the favourites, so Salford get an 8-point start going to West Yorkshire. It's 2-5 Castleford on the 80 minutes and 2-1 Salford, Tez. Again, another one that's not a lot on it, really, is it? Just pride and contracts and the usual things that we talk about at this time of the season. But, again, it could be an entertaining one because Cass score points, don't they?
That is it. Entertaining. I think when you look at this fixture, automatically you're drawn to Rangi Chase, you're drawn to Salford, playing against some of his teammates for next year. And he's the difference. He is always the difference when Castleford play. If he's on form, like he was in the last game that they played, Castleford scored 8 tries. He scored one of those and set 5 up. He's an absolute talent. And I just think it's all about Cass in this game. Like, you look at, you've already touched on it, saying that Salford have only got 1 away win this year, and Tigers are seeking their 6th straight home win over Salford. And big effort from Salford, but I think it's about that man, Rangi Chase, will be out to impress Mr. Kukash, who has the cash.
Indeed, yeah. Barry, I suppose the other telling fact, Barry, is that when you look at the points against column, 885 Salford have conceded, 815 Cass, so a bit of difference, but not a huge difference. The big difference is in the points scored, as we've just said there. 402 for Salford, 626 for Cass. On those grounds alone, Cass have got to be the better, haven't they?
Yeah, and Cass can score tries, and they've got a lot of flair players, and Daryl Powell has talked about his side's goal line defence from 20 metres out to their try line. They really struggle to defend teams. I don't think Salford are going to make it, and I know it's harsh to say that. I don't think they're going to make it into that particular area too many times. The goal forward is pretty good, but in terms of creativity and having the same flair that Castleford have got, there isn't too many players that step forward. Young Gareth Owen and Mark Sneed, Theo Farge, they're the players that are charged with that type of creativity. They haven't just quite got the experience yet. Castleford are an exciting team to watch, playing at home on their own home turf and in front of their fans. it's going to be about cast this, and I think that they'll put a pretty hefty scoreline on Salford. It could be in the high 20s.
Interesting one. Finally, on TV on Sunday night, could be a fantastic occasion. 6:15 at the Gal Farm. It's Huddersfield Giants versus Wakefield Trinity Wildcats. The odds 16-1 on Huddersfield, 15-2 for Wakey. That means Wakey get a plus 20 start, but that's not really the story, because if St Helens beat Warrington on Friday night, Huddersfield will be crowned the league champions before the game even starts. And even if Warrington do win and Giants win, they will be I think they're planning to have the trophy there for them. 3 points ahead, 2 games to go. They'd have to have to muck it up basically from here on in, Huddersfield. We've said it a lot, guys. Tremendous achievement for them. You've already paid tribute a couple of times, Barry, to the head coach. Well, he's done a fantastic job. He's done the thing that no one else has managed to do before him, hasn't he, Paul Anderson? And that's keep it going for the full season. I know we've got the playoffs to come, but you can't underestimate what they've achieved there.
No, and I mean, it is a good side. It's got some very talented individuals. I think Danny Brough's a shout for Man of Steel, but the way that Danny Brough links and plays well with Sean Lunton, Luke Robinson and Scott Griggs at the back, the four players that are classed as the spine of any team, you then ally that with the Crabtree, Kopchak, Ferris influence in the forwards, and they've got it just about right. The bench, when we see Liam Patrick come off, he really lifts the intensity and the balance is right. Everybody's doing their job as well as they can do it, and they haven't slipped up. They haven't, you know, they haven't got to that point. And you talked about it. You mentioned it. Everybody's waiting for them to blow it. Well, I don't believe they'll blow it on Sunday. I think they'll get a tough game from Wakefield. But I believe that whatever happens on Friday, Huddersfield will go into this game determined to pick up that league leader's shield and bring the first piece of silverware for 81 years.
Yeah. Tez, do you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely, totally. Richard Agar, I'd love to spoil the party. I know that he grew up playing with Paul Anderson. And I just think it's a big day for the club, for Ken Davey, for Paul Anderson. The first year that he's been in control of a side and he manages to lift the league leader shield, I've no doubt in my mind that that's got what's going to happen. Whether that happens with the result between St Helens and Warrington and all Nathan Brown doing him a favour, I think it'll come down to this game. Again, we talk about Wigan being a great day for the fans. Well, Paddy's already said that 81 years since the last lifted some silverware, so the club deserves a lot of praise, because they were accused of being a yo-yo side years ago. Ken Davies still kept on pumping his money in because of the love for and his passion for rugby league. So they deserve to have a good day on Sunday, and I think they will do.
Yeah, just very quickly, if St Helens were to win and they've already got the league leader's shield, would that make any difference to the performance on the pitch or the team, do you think? Or would he rest players?
No, would he? He'd want to emphatically put an exclamation mark at the side of that particular accolade. So no, I don't think it'll make any difference.
That's good to know. Yeah.
Totally agree with him, mate. That'll make the players want to go out there and enjoy it, because the pressure's not on. They'll go out there, and with Danny Brough and Luke Robinson and players that have been there for a number of years, it's all about enjoyment.
Yeah, fair enough. Let's get a bet of the week, shall we, from the guys. What takes your fancy this week? I'm struggling a bit, actually, I must admit, this week. What are you thinking? I'll nick one of yours. Who wants to go first?
There's a couple. I think it's going to be a big day for Huddersfield, so I'm going to go with Huddersfield because everything's going in their favour, and they know that they'll have been enjoying training all this week, and I think it's going to be a big win for them.
Yeah, probably the best time in their career at the minute, isn't it? So, yeah, no reason to think that. Minus 20, Huddersfield. Barry, what do you...
I'm going to go Wigan. I'm going to go with the kids. I'm going to go with those young players to really thrive and seize that opportunity.
Yeah. Is that on the 80 minutes as well?
Yes.
Yeah, 11-8 to win that one. I like that, actually, but I won't go for that one. I'll go for Cass to win on the handicap against Salford, based on the try scoring potential they've got over Salford. It's -8 on the handicap, so Cass -8. Terry went Huddersfield -20. Barry Wigan on the 80 minutes at 11-8. Thank you, chaps. Have a great weekend.
Okay, mate.
And we'll speak next week.
Same to you, mate.
Cheers, lads. Thanks to Barry and Terry. Back next week for the final weekend of the Super League before the playoffs get underway. If you want to download any more of our podcasts, if you like your football or your boxing or your tennis or your golf or your horse racing, then go to williamhill.com/podcasts. You can also go to iTunes, and we're also now on Audioboo. Just go to audioboo.com and search William Hill. Thanks for downloading the podcast. If you haven't bet on any of the matches, then very best of luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.